Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Banking Matters. I'm your host, Lindsay Hughley, and joining me today is Dana Lawrence. Dana is the Senior Director of FinTech Compliance at Pacific West Bank and Venture Partner at Purpose Built. She is a FinTech and open banking industry go-to for complex compliance, enterprise risk management, audit and governance program creation, and scaling and remediation. Dana's 20-year career in technology, financial services spans mortgage, community banking, large U.S. and global banks, open banking, digital assets, and fintech. She's held senior leadership roles working directly with banking regulators and internal and external auditors. Dana is a committed volunteer and thought leader, serving various groups such as IIA, ACAMS, ISACA, and ACFE. She has spoken at local, national, and global events with up to 12,000 participants. In 2022, she launched a popular LinkedIn Live show called In FinTech, We Build Trust, which is dedicated to the trust builders such as compliance, audit, risk professionals in FinTech, Web3, payments, and banking. Welcome, Dana. I am so excited you're here with us today. How are you?
Yes, me too. I'm doing so well. So happy to connect
with
you today.
Yes, I am so looking forward to this conversation. Yay. So here at Banking Matters, we always like to start our conversations by finding out how our guests started their career in the financial services industry and what led you to be where you are now.
Yeah, sure. Well, when I was going through college and wrapping up college, it was around 2003 and the mortgage industry was piping hot. So I had a degree in finance and I ended up working in the mortgage industry. And during that period of time, I saw a lot of really interesting practices. I don't know if you were in the banking industry around that time or not, if it was before your time, but a lot of stated income, stated asset loans. So kind of like the liar loans, or you would have the mortgage broker in communication with the appraiser and be like, hey, we really need this to come in at like, you know, 400 or 500. A lot of things that weren't technically illegal, but maybe weren't ethical and they weren't good from a risk management perspective. So started my career in mortgage. And then I was in mortgage, I did processing, underwriting, assisted a real estate agent, and I ended up working at a community bank in Central Oregon right around the time that the mortgage industry and the housing market just crashed. And I actually think that I was probably the last person to buy a house before the bubble popped. So like I was the last person to like buy a house at the highest
price.
You
got it in while it was still hot.
That was, yes, it was me. But working at a bank, I was able to pivot out of mortgage when the economy crashed, because there really wasn't much work in mortgage. But I did end up moving over to the internal audit side and started learning more about the different types of the business. And from there, I got into enterprise risk, compliance, third-party risk management, kind of like that was a springboard to really learn more about like the second line of defense. I moved to Portland. Sorry, this is a longer intro. I worked for another community bank. And starting in 2014, that was a big pivot for me. I started working at Simple, which was considered one of the first neobanks or fintechs. And from 2014 to present, I've been working more on the tech startup side of financial services, really with the lens of compliance and risk management, making sure that we're not breaking laws, we're not harming consumers, and that the innovation is used in a safe way. So that brings me to where I am today. I'm back on the banking side at Pacific West Bank and building out a really safe, sustainable banking as a service program to support some amazing fintechs.
Well, I'm so glad you, number one, what a journey. I was not in banking when the mortgage stuff was going on and everything, not until a couple years after that. But I've been in it now for almost 20 years. And so watching all of that has just been wild, and especially to hear people, just like you said, the things that you've gone through and then come back through. And again, you mentioned banking as a service. So do you mind going into depth of that for us?
Yeah. And the term banking as a service, I feel like is still a little bit open for interpretation. Like it's not, there's not like a good dictionary definition. So people kind of use it in different ways. How I think of banking as a service is the ecosystem where there's a bank sponsor, let's say, like my bank, for instance. We have a bank charter. We are regulated by the FDIC. We are a bank. Now, for banking as a service to work, we partner with the different fintechs. So fintechs, again, is also, there's a lot of variability in how people use that term. It could literally be anything financial services and technology. So it could be like an ATM card. It could be anything. But when I'm talking about fintech today, I'm going to be thinking about like a fintech app. Like, you know, if you think of on your phone, you might have like a Starbucks app. That's an example of a fintech. You might have Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. We partner with fintechs. And so fintechs go out and get customers. They have a cool app. They're doing cool stuff with technology that maybe a traditional bank is not. They're doing their own marketing and branding. But the customers that get signed up are actually customers of the community bank. And the community bank is responsible for all the compliance, the anti-money laundering, the CIP, like all the alphabet soup of everything. So they both have really unique roles, but kind of that partnership is banking as a service. Like we're offering banking to fintechs to allow them to
Wow.
exist. Clear as
Yeah,
mud.
so why do you love banking as a service? Why are you so passionate about it?
Well, first of all, I think so much more is happening digitally, especially during COVID. There really is an explosion of different fintech apps. Why I love what I'm doing currently is when I was working for fintech startups, I was working with people who are really good at technology. They could be like, why doesn't this work how I want it to? And then they would just do things on their computers to like make it happen, which I don't know about.
Me either.
But for that to exist, you have to have a really strong relationship with your bank partner so the bank partner can explain what you're doing to the regulators. And during that 10-year period when I was on the fintech side, I noticed that there were some kind of cultural differences between tech companies and banks, as you can imagine. The pace of a tech company is very fast. You're working in quarters, you're working in months and sprints. Like you have to ship new product, you have to grow your customer base, like in that exponential way. Otherwise, you might not get funding, you might not, you know, hit your metrics. So the pace is very fast. Whereas on the bank side, you have to protect your bank charter. You have to protect your reputation and your status with the regulators. And if that is compromised, like you're just going to be so far set back. So I don't think a fintech can ever understand how like delicate and precious that regulatory status is. And then maybe a bank is never going to understand the kind of pace at which a fintech is trying to move. And that kind of creates a natural tension. So having had those experiences and often moments of frustration, being able to be at a community bank, which is small and really nimble and super aligned on providing really high level of service to our fintechs, and then also doing the absolute best we can to prioritize compliance and bring our regulators along. I am so thankful for this opportunity because it's like I get to take all the, you know, the lessons learned, the mistakes I've made, and hopefully create something that is better than what we've seen before. That's my goal.
And so I am a virtual compliance officer for our company. And so we work with tons of community banks, and the conversation
Awesome.
around fintechs and just the landscape of all of that is exactly what you've described. They hear fintech and they go, and it's a scary foreign new frontier because I feel like we're dragging this buggy of regulation behind us.
So true.
And so can you help us understand, because majority of our listeners are going to be community bankers. Can you help describe some of the benefits of offering banking as a service and working with fintech?
Yeah. So first of all, I have a lot of empathy for community bankers, and I'm always going to care whether I'm working on the tech side or the community bank side. I'm going to care about it. I'm going to care about the impact to the community bank, because if you don't, it's just short-sighted. And if your bank partner has a problem, your fintech's going to have a huge problem. So for someone on the community bank side, I would encourage you to, yes, you might have an initial reaction of, but I would encourage you to like take a deep breath and just take a look. It's almost like an analogy of a little kid, like, I'm afraid of the dark. I don't know what's under my bed. There's something scary. I don't want to look. And maybe you get your adult and you turn on the light and you take a good look at what's under the bed and go through and see what's under there and really get some data on, you know, there's nothing there that's going to harm you. And kind of the application of that would be, I always go back to the concept of a risk assessment, and not like a high level risk assessment just for fun or like just, you know, to check a box, but really like, let's say you want to partner with a fintech, literally from the beginning to the end, what is everything that partnership's going to entail? And that's like a lot of work, but if you are interested in this space, you really need to understand. And it is okay to expect that you have a fintech partner that's going to be willing to partner with you. There's a lot of fintechs, and I think I saw this more probably 2 or 3 years ago, who wanted the cheapest bank partner with the least questions asked and the fastest. And that is not the environment anymore. I think some of the silver lining of these really difficult bank consent orders is that fintechs hopefully have backed off a little bit and understand that like the reason the bank is needing this compliance stuff is for a specific reason. But I would encourage community bankers to really go through a robust risk assessment process. Like, and literally just, if I can't understand it in like the terms of like how a kindergartner would understand it, you know, then I'm, you know, the person needs to do a better job explaining it as far as I'm concerned. Thinking about like, let's say, Lindsay, you were going to sign up for this app. What information are you putting in? Does that meet the CIP? Do you get all the disclosures? Where do you click a button? Like literally thinking through the exact same things you would do as a community bank, but having, you know, walking through that process with the fintech. So I know it's kind of ran through a lot of stuff there, but my kind of like headline for that would be, go about it in the same methodical process that you would approach any new product or service. And, you know, the fear isn't necessary. The fear can be a green light for opportunity, but just use your same basic things and they're going to serve you as you manage through this.
Yeah. And I love how you said just to literally take it in and look at it as you would onboarding any product or service, because again, there are so many things that especially community banks are trying to diversify and offer their customers so that they can build deeper relationships. So stepping into fintechs, again, there's so many people that I've heard, they're just, they clam up as soon as they hear it. So outside of just the misconceptions that banks versus fintechs may look at each other and see, what are some other challenges that you may face in stepping into banking as a service?
Other challenges could be maybe culturally at your community bank. And what I mean by that is the bank will likely need to invest resources before there's a return. So it might be culturally difficult for people in the bank thinking, why are we investing money in this fintech division? Like, why can't we remodel this branch instead, you know, and seeing resources. And I think it also can create, I mean, real talk, it can create fear in people are we pulling away from core community banking that a lot of us have grown up working in and really like a lot of aspects of? So it is really, I think, confronting people with change and maybe being sensitive and aware of how that's rolled out at a bank can be something to keep in mind. And I think at our organization, our CEO has made it really clear, we're not trying to be a digital first thing. We are very much committed to our same in-person focus on business customers and nonprofits. And we are really seeing this as an addition and a complement too. But I think that is another challenge you will run into. And then just the regulatory headwinds. So I think being sure, and again, regulatory relations are so personal to each bank and it's your own strategy, but I think proactive communication, continuing to tell the story of what you're doing, even if you're not being asked to. I mean, again, I'm not giving legal advice here, but I think anytime you're doing something new, I guess my advice would be a little bit more forthcoming and try and be proactive and patient. But again, not legal advice.
And so what you said earlier, I do think that your advice to really go through and just comb through everything that could possibly go on with the risk assessment, and be as thorough as possible. When you have that coupled with being so upfront and forthcoming with your regulators, mm-hmm. like I said, and I've thought about this for a long time. I've 9 times out of 10 always been one of the youngest people in my positions in my banks, mm-hmm. kind of pushing for mm-hmm. some change, some more. And there, it has always felt like just this cart you are pulling mm-hmm. with, again, mm-hmm. regulations, yeah. just the, like you said, the misconceptions. And so the fact that your CEO has this perspective of mm-hmm. we are still serving our people, but we're adding value to that. I think that is wonderful.
Yeah. Sorry, I just want to add one little thing to what you said. So when you get a group of people who are like, I don't know the specifics, but it's a no for me. When you have it tangibly documented, like literally like, you know, talk to your BSA officer. What specifically are you worried about? Let's literally document those things down on paper. And then for any risk, there are likely like maybe, I don't know, like at least 5 to 10 things that you could do to address that risk. And once you have it all mapped out, I feel like, and you give people a chance, an opportunity to process it, it can get even the more kind of fearful and conservative people to, I don't mean that as a negative. What I mean it by is like it's something that I've done to help bring people along, or we can get to the point where they say, I still am a no because of this, and this is why, but you can at least get more understanding and potentially create something different with the program that's not going to push it so far on that certain
yes,
area.
So, and I love that because honestly, it's all about communication. You're going in and you're finding out what exactly are you worried about so that you guys can come together mm-hmm. and address those items. So mm-hmm. with that, what are you hoping for as far as for the next year, looking forward for banking mm-hmm. as a service? What are your hopes?
My hopes are that we at the bank can continue to be excellent partners for our fintechs. There are so many ways of working with fintechs, and our goal really is to not have a lot of fintech partners, but be able to provide a high level of customized service. And I know everyone's like, oh, we're great at customer service, but I mean, like, kind of like I don't go there frequently, but like a Ritz-Carlton or like a Nordstrom level experience where we really are responsive to them. We can't say yes to everything, but if we say no, we'll say, here's why, here's what you could do to overcome this. Being very closely connected with them, because we also need to know everything that's going on with them to be able to support the end user, which is our customer. Also continuing to invest in a robust compliance management system, really proactive with our regulators, and through the combination of that, we're hoping to, you know, grow our deposits in a sustainable way, grow our revenue, and be able to invest that back into the core bank and really kind of emerge from the regulatory headwinds and demonstrate that we can do this in a safe and sustainable manner. Because I do think the future is going to be dependent on, you know, people figuring out how to do it, because people are going to continue to want fintech. And I don't know if banks are really going to be suited to build it.
Yeah. And I just have this vision of really, when you have intentional community banks, like what you've just described, you guys mm-hmm. are doing, mm-hmm. the way that you would be able to reinvest in your communities, especially through these fintechs. Yes. Like, honestly, mm-hmm. that's one of my top passions. It's why I've always loved working for community mm-hmm. banks. It is mm-hmm. literally a one-stop shop. And
yep.
that is the source for everything in these small communities where, and even when they start setting foot maybe in larger communities so that they can offer mm-hmm. like what you described, that one-on-one mm-hmm. connections with their customers.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, I mean, I certainly got swept away with it. Like, you know, there's kind of an allure of the tech world and like the Bay Area and like, whoa, but community banks are literally the pillar of the community. They're the ones giving money to the local nonprofits, you know, doing the ribbon cuttings, giving loans to small businesses. Like they have such a high value. And yeah, I just hope that maybe in the next 18 months, we can kind of evolve and get more understanding around what the risks are and how to manage it. And I guess maybe one kind of tip for compliance officers or compliance testers kind of contemplating this, I would say literally lean into it. Even if you feel nervous about it, you have exceptional banking background. You know, you likely know all the lettered regulations, BSA, AML, all of that stuff back and front. It's almost kind of a fun and interesting challenge to apply it, but it's again, don't overthink it. It's you're literally going to roll these out in the way you would do any new product or service. It might just need to be tweaked a little bit.
Yeah, that is honestly really exciting and refreshing to hear all of mm-hmm. that from you and for you to explain mm-hmm. just the process and especially how to go about when maybe leadership and management yeah. are a little hesitant. So that was really mm-hmm. great. So we always like to ask yeah. our guests to leave us with a little piece of advice. Do you have mm-hmm. anything for us today?
Yeah, so I think my advice, having been in the industry for over 20 years, is to, this might be cliche, but really take care of yourself first, because this work is, it's grueling, it's demanding, it can require a lot at times. Like, going through regulatory exams is no joke. And I think the tendency sometimes, especially for compliance people, can be like burning the candle at both ends, you know, burning ourselves out. But really, I see now kind of in my own life that I truly am at my best only when I'm fully like giving back to myself. So whether that means like, you know, walking my dogs after work or, you know, not working on the weekend, you know, whatever you need to like be your best, I would also encourage you to do that. And you can't, you know, sprint for the long haul. So yes,
this is a marathon.
Yes. Yeah, it's a marathon. Yeah, I haven't quite accrued enough to retire. So
not yet. One day.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Dana. So yes. appreciate this conversation and you taking time out of your day to speak with me today. And Absolutely. For the rest of our listeners, that's Banking Matters.